All right, Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 12. Let's start reading verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Brother Billy. That's one of my favorite verses, because it talks about redemption and forgiveness, and it talks about his blood. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I'm going to stop reading right there, but what a powerful passage of Scripture. The Bible said there in verse number 18 that he's the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen. That in all things he might have the preeminence. I want to preach this morning on the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word preeminence simply means, number one, first and foremost, God said it pleased God that to make Jesus to be, to have the preeminence of all things. A real preacher never gets tired of talking about Jesus. And real Christians never get tired of hearing about him. Amen. The Bible tells us to give the Lord the glory that's due to him. I tell you, I want to thank God this morning that he does have the preeminence. I'm glad there's no other God beside him. There's no other Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just Lord. He is Lord of Lords. He's not just a King. He is the King of Kings. He's not just a Savior. He is the one and only Savior for all mankind. Amen. They say up there in Washington, D.C., that you can drive around those roads the way they got it designed, and no matter which way you go, it all focuses around the Capitol building. Well, that's the way Jesus Christ is in history. He is preeminent in history from the beginning of time up until now. Brother, his life and his name and his character, it outshines them all. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody comes anywhere close to being like Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. He's like the sun beside a flickering candle. He's like a mansion beside a little girl's dollhouse. Thank God he's like a mighty warrior beside a baby. Thank God, I want you to know his name is at the top of the page of every page in history of mankind. Because of him, we're alive. Because of him, thank God we're saved. Because of him, we have joy. Because of him, we have peace. Because of him, we have a future. Because of him, thank God we have our being. Because of him, we have a mansion prepared in glory. Thank God for the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. He has the preeminence. Glory to God. Thank God I feel like preaching this morning. Oh, brother, I'll tell you what. I've been doing this for a long, long time. Brother Jeff, when I start talking about him, and you know what the strange thing about it is? When you start putting together an outline about Jesus, listen, it's just, it's kind of strange because you can have 100 pages of notes and never even begin to scratch the surface and say what he really is. I want to say number one this morning. Oh, bless the Lord. Lord, oh my soul, he is preeminent with the Father. Thank God he was, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, brother, I want you to know something. He is preeminent with the Father. Amen. Before Abraham was, I am. God created the world by Jesus Christ. He said, by Him does all things consist. God said, by Jesus Christ, by Him, by the Lamb of God. Every time in the Old Testament that the angel of the Lord showed up, it's what we call a Christophany. It is Jesus Christ in the form of man. It was God in the flesh. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, the Bible tells us that He is preeminent with the Father. It was said there, we read it, for it pleased the Father that in Him all should all fullness dwell. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, brother, I'm glad I don't have to pray to Allah or Muhammad or some idiot with a diaper on his head. God, Jesus said, if you want to see God, you've got to come through me. Oh, He is preeminent. If you want to honor God, you just honor Jesus Christ. If you want to please God, you just talk about Jesus. If you want God to be pleased with your worship, oh, you just sing about Him. You teach about Him. You preach about Him. You build it around Him. I'll tell you this morning, He is preeminent with the Father. Amen. There's none like Him. God did not ordain the lodge. Amen. You say, but there's some good people in the lodge. There might be. But I'll tell you, that's not built around Jesus Christ. It might be built around God, but it's not built around Jesus Christ. And you can't have one without the other. Listen, brother, He is not preeminent with the Muslims. They do not honor Jesus Christ. They say Jesus was one of 124,000 prophets sent by God, and He was not crucified, but He will come back and die again. He's not preeminent with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not honor Jesus Christ. He was not God because He was on earth. Before he was on earth, He was Michael the Archangel. Jesus was the first thing that Jehovah created. That's why we don't fellowship with a bunch of JWs. I want to tell you, brother, He is preeminent with the Father. He's not preeminent with them. They say Jesus is separate from God, and that His body was created by a sexual union between God and Mary, and His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for sin. I want to tell them morons, they don't know what they're talking about, because the Bible said, by Him and through Him and by His shed blood that you're saved this morning. He's not preeminent with the Roman Catholic Church. They pray to Mary. But He is preeminent with the Father. 1 Timothy 3:16 said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God. I like this part. I might start kicking my boots around. Amen. He said, great. He said, without controversy, there's no debate. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Thank God, if you want to get to God, you've got to go through Jesus Christ, because He is God. Amen. Somebody starts talking to you, the first question you ask them, who's Jesus? Oh, He was a great man. No, who is He? Is He God? No, He's not. If they say that, you run them off. He's preeminent with the Father. Number two, He's preeminent in the Scriptures. He's preeminent in the Scriptures. I remember when I was a young preacher, first got started, I heard somebody say this. Now listen, you always ignore somebody when they say we don't need the Old Testament. You just ignore them because they're just kind of stupid, you know. I don't know what you're talking about. But the Bible said this. I heard somebody say, do you know if you'll read that Bible and you'll study that Bible from Genesis all the way through, you'll see Jesus on every faith? And I thought, well, that's an odd thing to say. I got to looking at it, and I looked in Genesis, and I said, in the beginning, I thought, in the beginning, God created heaven, and I said, well, I didn't see Him there. And then the next verse, I thought, well, I didn't see Him there. And on down about verse number 3, it said, let there be light. I said, glory to God, there He is. You say, that's the Son? No, it ain't. He didn't create the Son until the fourth day. In verse 16, He said, let there be light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, in Genesis chapter 2, Adam gave his bride. The Bible said God put Adam to sleep, and he caused him to eat sleep. In other words, he died. He just laid there and died in the garden, and God opened up his side, and his bride was born. Oh, glory to God. Amen.
brother. I'm glad that on the cross of Calvary that God put his son to death and his side was opened up, his knee was pierced, and his side was born, and that blood and water came out. Thank God there's another picture of our darling Son of God.
Genesis 24, I saw where Abraham sent his servant to get his son a bride. Looked on down a little further, and I saw Joseph being betrayed and sold into slavery innocently, being betrayed and sold into slavery. And then I see a lady who was exalted and sitting at the right hand of a king. I said, there he is again. Exodus chapter 12, I saw the Passover lamb. I said, wow! I said, there he is. God said, take a lamb that's perfect, without spot, without blemish, and take its blood and strike the doorpost. And he said, I'll pass over you. I said, glory to God. There he is. He's preeminent in the Scripture.
Amen.
Over in Exodus 16, I saw this out in the wilderness. The Bible said they got hungry. And God gave a manna from heaven. I said, there he is again. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh, brother, I got thirsty in the next chapter. And God gave him water. He smote that rock. Oh, brother, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm glad that rock was smote one day on Calvary. Brother, Jesus became the water of life for me and you. I'm trying to tell you this morning, thank God he is preeminent in the Scripture all the way through the Word of God.
Amen.
Whew. Leviticus, I read about the scapegoat, chapter 14, 16. I said, there he is again. I'm going to take my time to preach this morning. Numbers chapter 21, I saw where they kept getting snake bit, and God told Moses, take some brass and put a snake, a serpent on it, and hold that pole up. Everybody that looks will live if they just have faith. I said, oh, there he is again. He's high and lifted up on the cross of Calvary. Oh, cursed is every one that hangs upon a tree. And there he was. If you'll just look to Calvary and believe, you'll be spared the judgment of the Almighty God. Oh, brother, he is preeminent. I said, he's preeminent. He is preeminent throughout the Scripture.
Deuteronomy 32, I saw where it said, he is the rock. And Joshua, when I read about that scarlet thread, I said, there he is again. Why wasn't it a blue thread or a black thread or a purple, Brother Sam? It was a scarlet thread. It represents the precious shed blood of our darling Savior. That's the only thing it saved. Rahab's house was that little tiny scarlet thread hanging down. That said, we've been redeemed. We've been paid for. Oh, thank God. He has preeminent throughout the Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. If you just read it, you'll find it. In Judges, I saw where he was the strength of Samson, the sword of the Lord. I went on down to the book of Ruth. I know it's getting late, but I'm going to take my time. On down to the book of Ruth, I read that story about Ruth and Boaz, Brother William. And I said, there he is again. When he said, Boaz is thy kinsman redeemer. I said, that's me. I mean, he's my kinsman redeemer. He saved me. I was like Ruth. I didn't belong, but he saved me anyway. Oh, in 1 Samuel, I saw where he was the oil of anointing poured over a young man's head and the power in a small sling. In 2 Samuel, I saw where he was the consummation of that anointing in 1 Samuel. He was the restorer of David after he fell into sin. Oh, brothers, in 1 and 2 Kings, he's the temple and holy of holies. 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's the restorer. In Ezra, he's the hope of Israel. In Nehemiah, he was that wall that those people determined to build. They said, we won't come down. We got a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Thank God, I say, that's Jesus Christ. He's preeminent in the Scripture. In Esther, he's the feast of Purim. In Job, he's patience. In Psalms, he's the poet and the shepherd. In Proverbs, he's wisdom and wealth. Ecclesiastes, he's the preacher. I love it, don't you? Woo! I'd kick my boot around too, glory to God. I'm already taking my plum off. I want to tell you something, brother. He's all throughout the Scripture. He is preeminent in the Scripture. That's why we don't like modern version Bibles. They take Him out. They take out His deity and His holiness. And we don't want nothing to do with that. Leave our Bible alone, bless God. Amen. The Song of Solomon, he's altogether lovely. The Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I saw him over in Isaiah where it said he's wonderful. Well, glory said he's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. Oh, you can't say enough about him. You can preach all day and never, ever scratch the surface. He is preeminent in the Scripture. In Jeremiah, he's the balm of Gilead. In Lamentation, he's the faithful and compassionate one. In Ezra, in immediate Ezekiel, he's the wheel in the wheel. I said, there he is again. In Daniel, I saw him when the king looked down there and started counting. He said, I didn't put the three men in there. But I see four men, and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. I want to tell you, he is preeminent in the Scripture.
Amen. And Hosea, he's the regatherer of Israel. And Joel, he's that poured out spirit that Peter talked about on the day of Pentecost. And Amos, he's the eternal kingdom. Obadiah, he's the deliverer. Jonah, he's a message to a sin-cursed city. He was the message, brother. He was it. When Jonah took the message down there, they all got saved, every one of them. And Micah, he's the blessed redeemer. Nahum, he's the avenger. Habakkuk, he's the vision. Zephaniah, he's the vengeance to the oppressor. Haggai, he's the day of the Lord. Zechariah, he's the latter rain. Malachi, he's the healing in his wings. He's all through the Bible, people. That's why we love the Bible. That's why we're so affectionate about the Bible. That's why we stress the Bible. That's why we talk about the Bible. That's why we want to preach and sing and talk about the Bible. Because he's preeminent in the Scriptures.
Amen.
Matthew, he's king. Mark, he's Savior. Luke, he's the man. John, he's God. Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. Romans, he's grace. 1 Corinthians, he's the foundation of power of God through the Word. 2 Corinthians, he's the judge of all men. Galatians, he's the gospel of grace. Ephesians, he's the whole armor of God and the riches of his grace. Amen. Philippians, he's the strength, our supply, and peace that passeth all understanding. And Colossians, he's the hope laid up in heaven, one sitting at the right hand of God. How can you miss him, people? How can you miss him? If you just read it, pick it up and read it, you'll see that it's preeminent throughout the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians, he's our coming Lord. 2 Thessalonians, he's sound doctrine. 1 Timothy, he's our mediator in the mystery of godliness. 2 Timothy, he's the spirit and power, love, and of a sound mind. Titus, he's the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Philemon, he's the humble companion. Hebrews, he's the great high priest, the foundation of our faith, a father that chastens those he loves, and he's a consuming fire. In James, he's the healer of all diseases. 1 Peter, he's a suffering servant, the chief shepherd, the precious blood, and the chief cornerstone. I'm just getting started now, brother. 2 Peter, he's a sure word of prophecy. 1 John, he's our advocate. 2 John, he's the truth, grace, mercy, and peace. 3 John, he's the truth. Jude, he's the coming with 10,000 of his saints. And as I look through Revelation, he's the vision, the seven spirits, one clothed with the sun, the lamb that was slain, the first begotten of the dead, the water of life, the King of kings, Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that which was and is to come. He's everything from Genesis to Revelation, and he's everything else in between.
Moses said,
he's the prophet that's coming like unto me. Job said, he's my living redeemer. Daniel said, he's the Ancient of Days. Jeremiah said, he's the Lord my righteousness. Isaiah said, the mighty one of Israel. Micah tells us about his birth. Jonah tells the story of Jonah. Is his death, burial, and resurrection. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with Abel in his death. He rode with Noah in the ark. He ate with Abraham in the desert tent, kept Daniel company in those den of lions. He rescued backslidden Lot from an inferno of judgment that was coming. He was Abraham's offering. He was Noah's rainbow. He was Abraham's ram up on Mount Moriah, caught in a thicket. Glory to God. Abraham's about to sacrifice his son, and he looked around, and there was the ram caught in a thicket, caught by his horns and unblemished, and ready for sacrifice.
He was Isaac's bride and Jacob's ladder, Joseph's dream. He was Moses' rod. I could go on and on and on and on and on because he's preeminent throughout the Scripture. He's everything you could ever possibly need. The Bible said he's the rose of Sharon, the lily of that lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the light of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, the fairest among 10,000. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. He's preeminent in the Scriptures. I want to say, thirdly, he's preeminent for salvation. Can I tell you something this morning? Baptists can't save you. Baptists can't save you. The Pentecostal can't save you. The Church of God can't save you. The Assembly of God can't save you. The Masonic Lodge can't save you. The Boy Scouts can't save you. The Democrats or the Republican Party can't save you. Listen, he is preeminent for salvation. Peter said, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you turn down God's perfect gift through Jesus Christ and by his name, if you turn that down, you'll die and go straight to hell and burn for eternity. Oh, I'm telling you, he's preeminent with the Father, he's preeminent with the Scripture, and he's preeminent for salvation. If you want to get saved, good works, good deeds, religion, and baptism, and church membership, none of those things will save you. Thanks, Jesus Christ. And him alone. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Only Jesus. Only. I'm going to tell you something. I tried to straighten up when I was a teenager. I was a teenage alcoholic, dope head. I tried to straighten up. I tried to reform, tried to quit. But I couldn't. There was something inside of me that couldn't stop doing what I was doing. And that thing inside of me was sin. I didn't get saved because I confessed I had sinned. I got saved and confessed because I was a sinner. Amen? I didn't say, Lord, save me because I did something wrong. I said, Lord, save me because I'm a sinner. He's preeminent for salvation. Let me move on. He should be preeminent in our services. Everything we do at our church, it ought to revolve and it ought to circle around him. Everything we do, it ought to be to lift up, glorify, and magnify the lovely, wonderful, marvelous, glorious name of the Son of God. He's the only one worthy. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. He's worthy to be praised this morning. That's why we want to preach about him. Amen. We don't want to hear your stories and it's all right to throw in an illustration now. But listen, brother, something really stirs me. Brother Billy, I've been in this a long time. But it still does something to me. Amen. Brother Sam, when they start talking about him, amen. I've been hearing it all these years. Listen, brother, I know people's got a favorite rock star and a favorite country star. And people are like, hey, that junk don't do nothing for me. Brother, I'll tell you one thing. When the choir starts singing, Thou, O Lord. Thou, O Lord. Man, there's something inside of me. Feels like there's something down in my heart cutting flips. When they start singing, I'm amazed that you'd even love me. When they start singing songs like that. When I hear a man get up and he starts talking about him. He starts talking about Jesus. Hey, I've heard preachers get up and talk about themselves and talk about their ministry and their church. I could care less, brother. Really, I'm not interested in none of that. That's good. I'm glad the Lord's blessing you. But I want to hear about Jesus. Tell us how he was born a virgin. Tell us how he grew up and he was perfect. Tell us how he suffered and bled and died on the cross. Tell us how he was our sacrifice. Tell us how they took him down off the cross and put him in a barn tomb. Tell us how he got up from the dead. And tell us how he went back to heaven. And tell us how he said, I'm going to build you a mansion. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you. He's preeminent in our services. Preach about him. Teach about him. You Sunday school teachers, if you don't preach about Jesus, if you don't teach Jesus back yonder, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Matter of fact, you won't have a job long. If you go back there and color and play and eat and snack, ain't nothing wrong coloring, ain't nothing wrong snacking. I ain't against that. But boy, I tell you what, if Jesus ain't the focal point of your 30 or 45 minutes back there, you're wasting your time and them little kids' time. You realize them kids are going to grow up someday and what their Sunday school teacher put in them is going to stay with them sometime, in some cases, along with what the preacher did. I tell you, better take your job serious. You better take it because, listen, someday, I'm talking to Sunday school teachers now, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account. He said, oh, they're just little kids. Yeah, little kids grow up to be criminals too, don't they? They grow up to be terrorists. murderers. They grow up to be rapists and child molesters. Hey, brother, but they can also grow up to be good, godly Christians if their Sunday school teacher will take some time and teach Jesus to them. My earliest memories of him was my Sunday school teacher. I remember my Sunday school teacher talking about it. You know, teenage boys, we snicker at anything. We had a Sunday school teacher, bless his heart, he couldn't read real good, but he did a good job teaching. Sometimes he'd say something funny or mispronounce a word. We'd get tickled. But ain't it funny, here I am 53 years old, still remember that Sunday school class? Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? Ain't it funny that I remember when I was even littler, the lady that taught me in Sunday school, I remember that. I remember what she told me about Jesus and how he loved me. He come to this world to bleed and die for me. What he's saying, preacher, he should be preeminent in our service, and we should preach about him, teach about him. Listen, Sunday school teachers, I'm just telling you this. You ought to teach Jesus in such a fashion that your kids will just fall in love with him. It don't matter if they fall in love with you. That's not your goal. That's not your job to get them to like you. This is not a popularity contest, but you should shine the light on him and then make them little kids fall in love with him. That's what good preaching does, Brother William. It'll make you fall in love with him all over again. Oh, it's like you just first met him again. There's been times I've been to church and I felt like if I could, I'd go get saved all over again because I just fell in love with him. Hey, brother, I want to tell you, that's because he's preeminent in our services. That's why the Lord blesses our church. That's one reason he blesses it, because it's about him. He ought to be preeminent in our singing. I like singing. I don't like it because I do preaching. I like quartets. I like trios and solos. And some people, I like to hear them so low that I couldn't hear them. Hear them sing that song Far and Away. I mostly like choirs. There's something about a choir that's singing right and got the touch of God on them. Why do you think other churches call us and want us to come sing? We can count the honor. But he should be preeminent in our singing. You know, you can tune your TV around some of those inspirational channels, and they're a hoop and a holler and jumping all over the stage. They don't say a whole lot about him. Amen, but I want to tell you, I like it, brother. I like it when we're talking about him. There is a name I love to hear. Sing it with me. I love to hear its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it out now. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. He should be preeminent in our singing. He should be preeminent in our singing. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and blind as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When he reached down his hand for me. If you know it, sing it. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach when he reached out his hand for me.
See, when you get Jesus brimming and into you singing, there ain't no end to it. I mean, you just keep singing about his love and his mercy and his redemption and his saving power. And brother, he'll show up. Thank God he'll show up every time.
He should be preeminent in our singing. I'll say this last of all. While Ronnie comes and gets us a song, I know I butchered them songs. I ain't much of a singer, but I could feel it. Amen. It might not have sounded good, but I could feel it. Amen. He'll be preeminent in our future. Amen. You notice this weekend all these memorials, and I like it. I'm for it. I sat there with tears in my eyes watching them memorialize those people. There's going to come a day, brother, that 9/11 ain't going to be nothing. Amen. When he comes back, it's really going to be all about him then. Sometimes you just feel like everything's upside down, don't you? Feel like everything's running backwards. It just don't make sense. It don't make sense the way the world's running and the way parents are raising their kids and our politics and our economy. Everything just seems so messed up. But I'm telling you this morning, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, go to Jerusalem, Terry, to be endued with the power from on high. And bam, he's gone. And two angels appeared. And they said, why do you men of Galilee stand here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus. He's not sending back a representative. He said, this same Jesus that you just now saw go away a minute ago, he is coming back. John 14, he said, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I'm coming back, youngins. You just hang in there. Just keep praying. Just keep preaching. Just keep shouting. Just keep telling the blessed good news. Tell love's sweetest story. And before you go, pass out some tract. Say, oh, how I love Jesus. Back up, you preacher, because I'm coming. I'm coming back.
Amen.
I'm getting my second wind now, bless God Almighty. Acts 17:31 said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's coming back, and he's going to have the preeminence, and he's going to ascend the throne of his father David. You know what everybody's going to say? All of them. All the politicians, the Republicans, the Democrats, all the Arabs, and all the Roman Catholics, and everybody in the world. They're going to look at him and say, it's him. They ain't going to say, who's that? You know what they'll say? Their knees will start buckling. And they'll say, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's it. And they'll say them Christians was right all along. He's going to be preeminent in our future. Let's stand this morning.